Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
For 15 years, Jessica Price has worked in child welfare. She's currently on the faculty of Florida State University's College of Social Work, but she began as a caseworker for Child Protective Services, or CPS, in Florida. The experience made Jessica question whether the system really helps children and families and pushed her to advocate for change. She shares her memories in her new book, Broken. Jessica Price joins me now. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jessica, you started your career as an intern at Child Protective Services. You then accepted a position as a social worker. Can you talk about how you saw CPS when you started there as an intern?
Absolutely. So when I first became an intern, I had only heard, nobody likes those people. Are you going to be taking people's kids? And so my initial reaction was, I have to find out who's hurting kids and try to keep kids safe. And I really went in with that mentality.
So I want to talk to you about something then that you end your book with, and I'm quoting you here. It isn't fair to condemn parents based on a short scene in a very long movie. But that's what CPS does by design. Now, you use your dear friend Erica as your example of the very long movie the system refused to watch, instead focusing on the one time she gave Madison, the child who she was caregiving for, a spanking that left some bruises that a teacher noticed and reported to child welfare authorities. Now, you were in your early stages as a child welfare caseworker when this case was assigned to your colleague and mentor. You were doing the exact kinds of child removals that your colleague ended up executing with Madison, deeming your friend Erica to be an abusive caregiver. What did they miss by just looking at the spanking that the caregiver gave the child?
I think they missed who Erica really was as a person. CPS missed her commitment, her devotion to Madison, and they came in and again wanted to find out what happened, who hurt this child, who was responsible, without really thinking holistically about the journey that got them to that moment.
I mean, and I think in reading Erica's story, you know, parents will relate. There are moments where every parent gets to the end of their rope and maybe, you know, acts in a way that if just that moment is looked at and nothing else, it really does look awful. But I want to ask you about, you know, your role in this, because Erica's case put you in a position where you were stuck between loyalty towards your professional mentor, who you deeply respected, and your best friend. And you knew this child, Madison. You had spent time with her. You saw the bond that she and Erica had. Talk me through at the time how you walked the line you walked and didn't intervene on Erica's behalf.
Yeah, I think that what's important for folks to know is you really are indoctrinated into this CPS world, and you start to wonder, are you crazy, or are your colleagues crazy, or is it the parents that you're working with? And I think that for me, I knew internally, I said, I know what Erica has been going through. I know that she was at the end of her rope, but I also know that my colleague is actually doing the best that she can too. The people that do this work every day, I wholeheartedly believe they're actually doing what they've been trained to do and what they think is right. But what I hope this book shows them is that there are so many nuances to the situations that we find ourselves in. And walking that line was really tough for me.
I mean, like, talk about walking the line. While you were a CPS worker, you yourself called authorities on your own sister, and she then had her children removed because of your call. And you then regretted that. Talk me through why you did that at the time. Like, I think this speaks somewhat to the indoctrination you're talking about.
Absolutely. So at that time, you know, my sister was experiencing an issue around family violence, domestic violence, and I worked very closely with the police during that time. When you work in CPS, you work very closely with law enforcement. So I just had every amount of confidence that the police and the CPS would figure out how to help my sister. I reported the incident to CPS, And my sister just became a part of this very intrusive process of what does she have to do to keep her kids? And it wasn't about her. CPS has not figured out how to support women or men. In this situation, it was a woman who have been the victims of domestic violence, because often we go to, okay, why are you not protecting these kids? But not realizing how difficult it is to be a victim of domestic violence. And I overlooked that as well.
You know, I think what you gather from all of this is that the system really isn't working. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why it isn't working is because of these incredibly high caseloads that caseworkers have. What does that actually mean in terms of doing your job?
We can't expect the professional workforce to make equitable decisions, compassion-led engagement, if they're running from one fire to the next. You go from sleep deprivation to vicarious trauma to a workload that is untenable. And we expect folks to make decisions that are humane, and it's just impossible.
And then, Jessica, you have to factor in race, which matters a lot in child welfare. You know, when you were a caseworker, you were trained to investigate the abuser, hold the parent accountable, and save the children. But you came to the conclusion that the system actually harms families because it doesn't consider culture, context, and the weight of the injustice. Can you explain how considering culture should happen, or why it matters?
The structural barriers that are in society are pushing a lot of minoritized families into child welfare. And I'm asking folks to be aware of that. And the fact that if you're working with a family that is different than your ethnic background, you're going to have a level of cultural humility and sensitivity that does not negate that we have to keep child safety paramount and we have to focus on family well-being, but we need to engage families with cultural humility and put our egos aside and not prescribe to them what they should be, who they should be, and what they should be doing based on often heteronormative societal standards.
So, Jessica, in my years of covering child welfare and these stubbornly high statistics that say that Black and Native children, and in Los Angeles it's also Latino children, are removed at much higher rates than they are in the population, I interviewed CPS directors and commissioners kind of year after year and asked blunt questions about the ongoing racial disparities. And year after year, or a new director would come along and claim that he or she would do things differently, acknowledged it, said they want to eliminate the racism or bias from the process. But year after year, the statistics remain the same. Why does nothing change?
There hasn't been an actual admission that we've done this work wrong. Child welfare is really good at creating new programs and doing media campaigns and saying that we really care about family well-being, but I don't think there's been an acknowledgement of the past harm. So until we really acknowledge what has been going on and then try to build a vision for the new way of work, I think we're going to continue to meet mistrust, and we're going to continue to be working with families that do not feel safe with us and do not want to partner with us toward holistic restoration and healing.
Yeah. So let's go back to your friend Erica, whose child Madison was removed. The two were eventually reunited. Erica was able to adopt Madison, but you write that Erica never really shook off the trauma from her CPS experience. These are your words. Liberty and autonomy truly felt precarious after an experience with CPS. Can you just explain that a little more?
Absolutely. And Erica, as well as other moms, have shared this. After having a situation with CPS, you never feel safe. You never feel like the next knock on your door is not CPS. So they all shared that same sentiment, that it took years for them to think, okay, CPS is not going to come to my door and take my kids again. And they also start to build this mistrust about asking for help. I know families that have lost their kids after going into hospitals absolutely are terrified to go back into hospitals. And we don't want that type of fear to resonate with families.
I want to end, Jessica, with the story that you started with in your book. And that's the story of a mother you were sent to investigate on your very first day as an intern for CPS in Tallahassee. Now, as a brand new intern in the field, you felt at the time that her house was dirty and possibly hazardous, and that her children were actually acting as the adults because their mum didn't appear to be parenting them. Mm-hmm. You helped remove her three children that very day. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, what would have been a better way, given all you know now, to help mm-hmm. those children or that family?
I truly believe that children should not be uprooted out of their communities, out of their schools. We place the child actually with their grandparent. And that's ideal, right? When you think about it, they weren't placed in traditional foster care. But we started to realize that it cascaded into even more issues with that family, where the kids got pulled out of their school and they became really isolated because their grandparent really couldn't drive very far and couldn't really bring them to school. So a better approach would have really been to bring all of the family to the table to figure out the best placement. I realized that very day that she not only loved her kids, but her kids loved her and wanted to be with her. So again, I think that we need to bring folks who already love those kids to the table to figure out a path forward.
Jessica Price's book is Broken: Transforming Child Protective Services. Jessica, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.